rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
There are no tears at the White House as news that an Iranian missile launch was a failure. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
The Iranian rocket did lift off on Tuesday, but scientists there say it failed to succeed at putting a satellite into orbit in a launch that was previously criticized by the United States as helping the Islamic Republic further develop its ballistic missile program. The scientists say the satellite failed to reach the necessary speed in the third stage of its launch. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has alleged that Iran's space program is helping it develop a missile capable of carrying a nuclear weapon to the mainland U.S.
Today is the 10th anniversary of the Miracle on the Hudson plane landing in New York City. Captain Sully Sullenberger helped guide a U.S. Airways flight into the Hudson River. A flock of geese disabled the engine moments after taking off from LaGuardia. All 155 passengers on the plane did survive. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Millionaires tend to have five characteristics in common. That's according to financial expert and New York Times best-selling author Chris Hogan. Hogan is author of a new book titled Everyday Millionaires. Now, for that book, Hogan went and sat down with 10,000 millionaires and talked to them about how they accumulated their wealth. One of the key findings was that all millionaires ended up being debt-free through hard work. Hogan explains.
Getting out of debt is going to be that first tool. Whenever your income gets to stay with you and go work for you, i.e. an investment, it's a much better plan than it going off to someone else. So I want people to attack their debt. And I'm talking about credit cards, student loans, car loans. So the best plan for that is to make a list of your debt, smallest to biggest, write it down on paper, look at it. And I want you to attack the little one first while making minimum payments on all the rest. And as you throw everything but the kitchen sink at that little debt, you'll move on to the next one once you have it paid off. So getting yourself out of debt, getting yourself in control with learning the skills of budgeting. We have a fantastic budgeting tool called EveryDollar. They can go to EveryDollar.com and learn how to budget for free. And then I want people to save. I want them to get a 3 to 6 month emergency fund set aside so when the car breaks down or life happens, they have money to reach to instead of begging for more debt. And then finally, investing. That's the best way to grow your money. Time and compound interest allow your money to grow.
Hogan also noted only 21% of millionaires received any inheritance. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
William Barr is President Trump's next pick to be the next Attorney General of the United States. He's testifying before a Senate Judiciary Committee today. He was asked how the American people should think of the Mueller investigation.
I think that there were allegations made of Russian attempts to interfere in the election. And as I understand it, Mueller is looking into those allegations.
British Prime Minister Theresa May suffered a tough defeat Tuesday as British Parliament overwhelmingly rejected her Brexit deal with the European Union. A dejected May has words for the Parliament.
It is clear that the House does not support this deal, but tonight's vote tells us nothing about what it does support.
May's withdrawal agreement went down by a vote of 432 to 202. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
There are no tears at the White House as news that an Iranian missile launch was a failure. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
The Iranian rocket did lift off on Tuesday, but scientists there say it failed to succeed at putting a satellite into orbit in a launch that was previously criticized by the United States as helping the Islamic Republic further develop its ballistic missile program. The scientists say the satellite failed to reach the necessary speed in the third stage of its launch. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has alleged that Iran's space program is helping it develop a missile capable of carrying a nuclear weapon to the mainland U.S.
Today is the 10th anniversary of the Miracle on the Hudson plane landing in New York City. Captain Sully Sullenberger helped guide a U.S. Airways flight into the Hudson River. A flock of geese disabled the engine moments after taking off from LaGuardia. All 155 passengers on the plane did survive. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with our 55 Plus show for the day, and I've got Fred Sade on with me. Say hello, Fred.
Hi, Joe. Hi, listeners.
Hey, so what we're going to do is we're going to give you a intro to the weather, and a commercial, and we'll be back to get the show kicked off. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk about financial planning for the retired set, or at least a 55 Plus set, and I think you'll find it very interesting.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now.
Yeah.
You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So, our weather forecast, first of all, let me give you the date and time. It is the 15th of January, and it is a little after 4 o'clock. It says 4:12. Got started a minute or two late. And the weather forecast for the area is interesting because it looks like we're going to get some snow or rain towards the end of the week, but right now it doesn't look bad. The next couple of days are going to be Wednesday the 16th. It's going to be, well, I got Fort Lauderdale up there. That isn't going to work. Let me get back to the Clinton and Flemington area. Here we go. 39 degrees right now. Tomorrow the high is going to be 39, 21 overnight, 23 overnight tonight, 21 overnight tomorrow, 34 on Thursday, a little cooler, 28 overnight, 41 on Friday because the front's coming through. We're going to get a little bit of rain, down to 36 on Saturday, a touch of snow maybe, depends where you're at. I think we're right on the edge of it as usual, a little bit of precipitation going into Wednesday and 43 degrees. But Sunday night, going into Sunday, I should say, Sunday night, we're going to drop down to the low one single digit. So sort of scary that it is winter and it's coming at us. So let me do one more and I'll be back to you to talk about what we're going to talk today.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So you've understood a little about me from that last 30-second commercial. Let's talk a little about Fred Sates. Fred, you've been on once before, maybe about 7 or 8 months ago, and we talked about this process, but there's a whole bunch of new features if you got you want to talk about.
Sure.
Tell us a little about your background.
Sure. My background was primarily, or at least initially, in academics with advanced degrees. All my advanced degrees are from Duke University. And then I studied in Europe and have a diploma from the Free University of Berlin. And my focus was and is on economics, not necessarily Keynesian, but European economics as well. And from the academic world, I went into the consulting world and then left consulting at the end of 1996. And decided to go out in the world on my own and be a financial planner. I had to figure that out for a while and decided that my real interest was in tax-efficient income distribution. And sounds like a big mouthful, but taxes are something that usually get ignored by most people. And since most people today have their retirement income in tax-deferred or tax-protected accounts, then they are faced with the taxation at the time that they have to take the money out in retirement. So that was my focus, and then I also became interested in how you do that. And so we have over the years developed a process that takes us from start to finish. And it's a commitment of time and effort to get there. But with longevity being extended these days into the 80s and 90s, some people are going to be retired longer than they actually worked. So a 30-year or 28-year, 26-year retirement is not out of the question any longer. It's not your parents or your grandparents where they retired at 65 and life was over at 71. So it's not a six-year process any longer.
So every time I talk to you, I learn a little more. I didn't realize that you had done that much studying abroad. I mean, how much time did you spend in Europe?
I spent the year studying at the Free University of Berlin.
Okay.
And I was in the philosophy and economics area, and wanted to get a non-Keynesian learning of economics, and Keynesian economics are really dominant here in the States, but that's not necessarily true in continental Europe. And in order to get that background, I had to go where it's taught.
So your company's name is?
Money Matters USA.
And that is your own company? Or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're completely independent. We don't owe any allegiance to anyone.
And what's your best contact number?
908-791-3831.
And what is the URL for your site?
www.moneymattersusa.net.
Okay, we'll repeat that a couple of times throughout it. So take us through college to where you got into this business, because I know you had some very interesting career paths.
From college I went into teaching and taught economics both at the undergraduate and graduate level. And I didn't find that as fulfilling as I thought that I would, and I didn't want to work for government or for any of the not-for-profit organizations. So the only thing left to me was a for-profit opportunity, and with my academic background, I thought that consulting would be the way for me to would be the proper path for me. Consulting is wonderful. You don't have to meet a payroll. You don't.
I love it. So how long have you been doing this process that you're in?
Since early 1997.
Wow, so 20 plus years.
Yes.
Once again, I'm learning more about you. I know we had a long discussion this morning at another meeting about transactional management versus planning.
Sure.
Process management. Why don't you explain what it is you do in layman's terms, so people will say, well, I already have a financial advisor. No, this is not a financial advisor. This
sure.
is a, and you fill in the blank.
Yeah, my focus is on income. Everybody has to live on income. I don't care how much money you have, you still have to live on income. And it really starts with budgeting. You need to know how much money you have, how much money you can spend. If your portfolio is primarily in equities, as the market declines, you face some limitations in how much money you can take out of the market, and you have to be able to control your spending. It's very dangerous for someone who is retiring now into a market of high volatility and essentially a down market. That's a large part of your retirement is at stake here, and it's very important to understand for your own sake how you're going to manage that 30-year window. You can argue and say it's a 26-year window or a 29-year window, whatever it is, but you have to measure longevity from your current age and not from your birth year. And there have been serious academic studies done about longevity in order to be able to determine that somewhere between 86 and 90 is the place where people are going to live. People often get confused by Social Security statistics. That's the average of the entire United States. It includes everybody.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily include people who are in this audience who are above average, who have medical care, access to prescription drugs, and access to proper nutrition. Whether they choose to enjoy proper nutrition, that's a different issue, but they have access to it, and they're going to live longer than the Social Security average, which for a male is about 75 years of age right now, and for a female is about 78 years of age.
I didn't realize it was that low for Social Security.
Yeah, because it's the average of everybody who's in the country.
In the country, good, bad, or indifferent.
That's right. No distinctions made.
Last week, I'm not sure if you were there when the woman presented the food pantry and she talked about going with hunger for a long period of time.
Yes.
And how it took 4 or 5 years off an average life.
Yes.
Is that, in your mind, a good
thing? Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Proper nutrition is very essential, and proper medical care, proper medication when that is appropriate. That gives you above average opportunity to live a longer life. A lot of this research was done at Stanford University. They have a longevity center, and much of this information was then funneled to the Society of Actuaries. And based on the Stanford studies, they've been able to develop their longevity calculators. And, in fact, there is a free calculator that you can access online. It's the Society of Actuaries Longevity Calculator. I don't know the URL offhand, but if you put that into a search engine, it will come up, and it will have you put your information in, and it will give you the probability numbers.
I know she had mentioned last week when she talked, and this was at, for our listening audience, a Rotary meeting. And she said there was a place you put your zip code in because your zip code pretty much can tell the economic. Now, I don't think that's a good barometer because there's, for instance, Somerville has got some very high net worth people, not a lot, but some very. It does have a poverty belt.
Yes.
For it. So if you put 08876, which is Somerville through, you're going to be heavily persuaded by the poverty that's there. But if you're one of the higher net worth people in Somerville, it probably is not a good indication.
Sure. If you put Bridgewater or Reddington in, you'd get a different number.
Right, right. But I did. So when she was doing it, I got on my phone and I did it. And I put 08801, which is Annandale, a section of Clinton Township, where I live, and it said 81 to 82. And I'm saying, well, good grief. I'm already in my mid-70s. I expect to be hopefully around longer than that.
Sure.
Knock on for Micah here. But I'm wondering just how, you can't put a zip code in and get your individual stats out. It depends on your health. I've always said that your longevity, in my mind, is somewhat genes, somewhat habits, and somewhat where you're at. I mean, if you lived through the Second World War, your longevity is not what it was today when people don't go to war for the most part.
Well, that's a very interesting point that you're making because the Stanford studies show that, on average, people underestimate their longevity by a minimum of 5 years, and they're just interpolating from their parents or from their aunts, uncles, or what have you, from neighbors, and they're just assuming that they're going to live. If their parent died at 71, they're assuming they're going to die at 72.
Yeah.
But if they're in good health, probability is very high. It's about 56% that they're going to get to 85.
Wow.
Then the probability to 90 goes down. It's about 24%. But that's for a person that's in good health and has access to care, as I indicated.
So in good health, your probability is about 75% to get to 85?
64%.
64% to 85.
Again, according to Stanford and the Society of Actuaries.
Okay. So, I mean, I think that's very encouraging. I know my doctor... My mom lived to 77, my dad lived to 87. They both had issues. Issues I don't have. They're corrected. They had strokes. I'm not probably will not have strokes because I am now taking corrective medicine for what is only a marginally high, cholesterol level. And so people aren't necessarily going to live as long or longer proportionally than their parents, but it is a barometer. So, I mean, I think it's better that my father lived to 87 than died at 77 as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 90, well, that's, living to 90 is very, very possible, and even to 95. Again, the numbers go down, but, that's based on current longevity.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no reason to think that in another 10 years we won't add another year of longevity. That's pretty much been the standard. Every 10 years you gain 1 year of longevity.
Okay.
But that could accelerate. It would depend upon the research that's being done, the genome research, the ability to right now we can certainly replace limbs. If you replace organs, and we have some limited ability to do that, you can extend life, above age 100. I mean, even with the new 2017 actuarial tables being used this year by the life insurance companies, they can price out to age 131. That is frightening, frightening thought.
That is. I heard Bob Wise, he retired from running the Hunterdon Medical Center, but I heard him talk 2 summers ago. And he said that by 2025, at birth, living to 130 is going to be a reality. The questions you've got to ask yourself is, what is the quality of the last years of that life? And that's another whole subject matter that we're not here to talk. But I think the gist of it is, we're living longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in most cases, we could live longer than the money we have that we put away to support that end of our life.
That's correct.
And what you do is help people manage that factor to the point that they're using up which money's first so that they don't have the tax consequence. I know that's a little of what we got in the last time, but I'll let you talk about it.
Okay. The conventional thinking is in the taking of income, you take after-tax income, that might be from a brokerage account, you take that first, and you deferred your tax-protected, your tax-deferred income to the very end. So it would be brokerage account, Social Security, Roth if you have it, overfunded life insurance policy through loans, which doesn't count as income. There have been a lot of studies to show that is not necessarily the best income distribution pattern. And given the fact that we've just had a significant reduction in federal income tax rates, and right now we have 7 brackets, and we have 4 independent capital gain brackets. So these brackets are – the income brackets are lower right now than they've been before. So taking advantage of the opportunities that this affords is very important. It can behoove someone to take a mixture, including 401k or IRA income, on top of the pension income, if they have a pension right now, as well as after-tax brokerage income. That the name of this game is to take advantage of the marginal effective tax rates. And you come on at 10%, and you go to 12, and then you jump to 22, 24, 32. That's an 8-point difference from 24 to 32. So if you're under 65 and you're married, you have a $24,000 exemption, and if you're over 65, you get another $1,350 per spouse. So it's over $26,000 that you're getting that's not being taxed, and so the question is, how do you take advantage of that? It's very nice to say, well, I'm in a zero tax bracket, but what have you done with the zero tax bracket? This is your opportunity to steal a phrase from a very famous tax practitioner: taxes are on sale right now, and they will be. Until the temporary tax reduction expires. So this is the opportunity to do your tax planning. The other thing to consider is that it used to be thought, the conventional wisdom was that when you retire, you'd be in a lower tax bracket. That's not necessarily true anymore, because even if you retire into a lower bracket, the tax rates are going up unless those become permanent or semi-permanent, and there's no indication at this time that that is going to happen.
One way or the other.
Yeah, so...
And we're talking 2025,
if yes, I remember. Okay. Yes.
So that's an unknown factor.
Yes. If by some miracle those tax rates are extended or there's some other adjustments, that would be wonderful, but I wouldn't count on it. So if you're doing planning, you have to take taxes into account because the probability for many people is their bracket will be higher. They're going to be paying taxes at a higher rate in retirement than they did prior to retirement. One consideration is that by 65, 66, most people have very few deductions
remaining.
They've paid off their mortgages for the most part. There are folks going into retirement now with mortgages, but for the most part, folks have paid off their mortgage. And that doesn't leave a lot more with the cap on deductibility of state income taxes and or mortgage interest. That flattens it out. And so if much of your income is coming from tax-sheltered accounts, tax-protected accounts, then suddenly you're faced with taxation. You're no longer contributing to the company's 401k. You're not contributing to an IRA. You can't take money from an IRA and then start another IRA with that very same money. You have to do something with it. And when you get to age 70 and a half, you have required minimum distributions. It makes no sense not to do required minimum distribution planning because it doesn't make a lot of tax sense to take the money, invest it, grow it, and pay taxes a second time on the same money.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense. And I know I keep on saying that, but to me it's the logical thing to do, and that is to try to keep your bracket as low as possible. And in order to do that, you have to do effective and essential planning. And now is probably the best time to do that.
So I know because Marilyn went through it when she retired, and she's not 70 and a half yet, but we talked to the accountant first, and then a financial advisor that we've been working with, and they said, yeah, you got to figure it's about 3.75% you've got to take in the year you turn 70 and a half. And it diminishes slightly, but that's going forward. So if you divided 100 by 3.75, you'd come out to about 33 years of distribution, just round numbers. Say 30,
okay.
It's 30. Now, your nest egg it could grow during that period of time, so which is the goal. So the distribution would outlast the nest egg if it grew in excess of the 3.7% a year. But it's not necessarily the case. But the name of the game is to have enough to the end. And since nobody can predict when the end is.
Yeah, well, that's the point. If you knew what the date you were terminal, it would be a very simple problem.
Right.
You'd die with $1. In your account, and that would be the end of it. But you don't, and that's the big unknown. So I have said many times, income planning is trying to hit a moving target in a 40-mile-an-hour wind with a knife, and that's what you're looking at because you don't know your terminal date, and so you have to assume that you are going to live longer than anything that you can plan for, unless you're really in poor health and you know that you're in poor health and your longevity is compromised. But absent that, you have to assume that you're going to live above average and therefore have to have the resources to be able to do that. You also have to take into account that a married couple or a couple who are living together at age 65 have almost a 70% chance of that one of them is going to need long-term care type expenses in the last 4 years of life. And so if that's from 86 to 90 or 85 to 89, that puts enormous stress on assets unless you've taken measures to prepare for that. And you may also have significant, which may be one time non-recurring medical expenses that have to be addressed. Most people have Medicare and a Medicare supplement. Medicare does not cover everything. They determine what they're going to cover, what they're going to pay,
right.
And they determine whether or not it's experimental. And so you may have a significant out-of-pocket expense that has to be met.
So let's back up and come forward.
Sure.
We said that we're living longer, and to plan for 30 years of retirement is not absurd. If you're in decent health, that could happen.
And sure.
It could be longer. Could be shorter. We don't know. That's the point. Secondly, RMD, minimum required distribution, MRD, I don't know if they...
Required minimum distribution. You're close enough.
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's how much you need to live on. That's how much you have to take or you're going to get
that's
taxed
correct.
On half of it. So you may need 5 or 6% of your nest egg per year to live on, which means your nest egg has to keep working for you.
That's right, and that's one of the reasons for budgeting.
Right.
Many times people will come in and say to me, oh, I only spend about 4% of what I earn, and then when you get down to brass tacks, it's 10 or 11 or 12% of what they earn. If you convert the dollar figure back into a percentage, you get a different number. And oftentimes they will slap their forehead and say, wow, I didn't realize I was doing this, that, or the other thing. But it's very easy to buy a coffee here and buy something there.
Exactly.
And it goes. And
I say to Marilyn, she just learned how to text yesterday. I sent her first text yesterday.
That's wonderful.
And there was a reason she had to learn, because she retired and she was driving me nuts and driving herself nuts because she didn't have enough to do. So she took a little part-time job at... No money involved, minimal money involved,
yeah.
But it's at a large retailer, and they said, we do our scheduling and communications via text, so if you want to work here, you got to learn how to text. So Marilyn is, where was I going with this? Marilyn is now looking at technology as a useful tool for the first time, and she loves it. Now that she's doing it, she's driving us crazy, texting us and whatever. But she's looking at making a little bit of money so she has something to do and has some pin money, but the financial advisor combined with the tax guy said, you got to watch it. That's going to do over on your Social Security because it becomes taxable. So your average person may not want to go back to work and earn a little money, but they do need something to do. And in her case, she got retired early and wanted to find, so she felt unfulfilled, she put on a beach, I need something to do, and this was her way of getting it to do.
Now, as long as she stays under $17,000, she hasn't claimed her Social Security. If she has claimed her Social Security, as long as she stays, and she's above 65, is she not, or 66?
She'll be 70 this year.
Oh, okay, she's at full retirement age,
yeah.
So there's no cap on Social Security earnings, but The issue that arises is the taxation of Social Security,
right,
as you receive it. And there's a 50% inclusion and there's an 85% inclusion. And once your Social Security becomes taxable, all income becomes taxable. There's no such thing as a tax-free municipal bond. There's no tax-free munis once your Social Security is taxable. It's a trap door that opens up, and it covers everything. So the way you take income, the distribution order, how you take income from which asset and which way you take it will determine how the tax code will work for you or against you. And it makes a vast difference, because jumping from the 22 to the 24% bracket isn't that bad. Jumping from the 24 to the 32 is disastrous.
Right.
And so in retirement, many people are going to be in that 24% bracket because the tax-deferred income now starts coming in, and their Roth contributions are very small, to be negligible, and some people have no Roths.
Mm.
So it's all taxable. The other thing is qualified dividends. our taxes at the long-term capital gains rates. And so that you can, depending, and again, it's Social Security that makes it so tricky, but you can actually force part of those capital gains back into ordinary income once you're at the 85 cents on a dollar inclusion in Social Security. Hard to explain that without charts to illustrate right. that, but nevertheless, that is actually the case. Now, if I could just make another point, and that is that the current market is highly volatile, but volatility is normal in the markets. What was abnormal was the absence of volatility in 2017. I mean, in the last quarter of 2017, we had zero trading days where we had no volatility, just no volatility. Last year, in the last quarter of 63 trading days, we had 26 trading days where the volatility was greater than plus one. Mm-hmm. So that causes people to say, well, gee whiz, what's going on here? Volatility is new. No, it's not new. What is different is that we've had an abnormal market for a very long time, and now we have some normality coming back into the market. So we're looking at things beside the Federal Reserve. We're looking at earnings. Corporate earnings suddenly have become important again. They were always important, but not as important when the Fed had created this very calm sea that we could just float on. And you know, in terms of effectiveness, there was, I would say that I would normally say in a normal market that there's no one theory of investing that works. Unfortunately, in the Federal Reserve's dominance in the market, there was one theory that worked all the time, and that was momentum theory. Anything that had momentum as an index or part of the algorithm would be effective and was effective. So people could make enormous gains at minimal amount of risk. Now we are coming back to some normality where money itself becomes an asset, and you can actually make money on. And so on some days, you can make more money in fixed interest at the bank, or than you can by being in the market.
So once again, this is Joe Peters at Coldwell Bankers speaking with Fred Sade from Money Matters USA. Fred could be reached at 908-791-3831 if you'd like to speak with him, or go to moneymattersusa.net and you can visit his site and learn more about what he does. Fred, it's unbelievable that we probably have less than 15 minutes left. We got a little bit late of a start and we talked. So I want to make sure we cover what you wanted to cover when we sat down and talked today.
Yeah, another thing that I would like to chat about a little bit. Some years ago, a financial planner came up with the idea that you could take out 4% each year from your portfolio, and that's principal and interest, and that portfolio each year you would take out an additional amount to cover inflation. And that portfolio would last 30 years. And that was a reasonably, and this portfolio was based on stocks and bonds.
Right.
This was a reasonably good idea until 2008. And then everything changed. So this so-called 4% rule is not a rule anymore. It's a guideline that people can use. Most of the heavy-duty research on this now finds that the safe withdrawal rate is something between 2.7 to 3.2%, depending upon how your portfolio is constructed. Now, you made also another point a little while ago at the beginning of the conversation, And that's called, in technical terms, it's called the glide path theory, which is that you convert most of your assets to income, but later in life, because of the longevity issue, you go back to investing in the market and you increase your allocation to stocks. So you wind up having a higher allocation later in life toward stocks than you would during the retirement years. And this theory was developed by Michael Kitsis and Wade Fow, and it has some adherence. The problem with there's no problem with the theory. It works. The problem is that people don't want to do that. They're too concerned. An 87-year-old man is not going to have 70% of his assets in the equity markets.
Right.
It's too dangerous.
So I think where my mind was coming from, and I'm a novice at this compared to you, that let's just keep the 4% going. Let's say
sure.
You had $1 million, you took 4% a year out, that took care of the minimum distribution, it gave you enough to live on, you had $40,000 tax-free, for argument's sake, or minimally taxed. But that's good till something happens. Because
yes.
You could go through that for 10 years and birds are flying and rainbows are out and butterflies are butterflying, and then all of a sudden somebody gets sick. And now it's not 4%. I need to take 10% of it this year to pay off uncovered medical deductions. Now the whole hat's cocked.
That is one of the problems. And you start liquidating assets. And then you have to recalculate how much of the portfolio can now support me. And this is whether you're living on a fixed income, and with inflation you're actually living on less money because it's got less buying power. But beyond that, you have to look at how do you generate income. It may come as a surprise to some of your listeners, and I'm not advocating anything. This is just factual. In the last 60 days, the annuity companies are just overwhelmed, working 7 days a week, issuing both immediate annuities so that people don't have to further distort their portfolios, and also deferred annuities, particularly index-type annuities where the annuity emulates an index. It's not a direct investment index, but it emulates one. And in order to protect principal, usually in a highly volatile market, people are less concerned with gains than they are in protecting principal. And that's what you see happening now. Right. There's a lot of money parked on the sidelines. And if you look at the earnings of the trading desks, you'll see that their revenue tends to be down. There's less trading going on.
So I heard somebody say last week that, and I think they're true, that the average person lost 5% last year. And it depends how you're proportioned and whatever. But your portfolio dropped 5% last year. It was the first year in a while we've lost money, so it's not too bad. And most people say, no, I lost much more than that. Yes, if you're looking at the third quarter till the end of the year, it's much different. But from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, it's about 5% or less, depending how you're proportioned. The headline today is that the Prime Minister is losing on this Brexit deal.
Yeah.
And when she was winning on it, it cost the market 3 points in one day. But now when she's losing on it, the market goes up minimal. It always seems to never pay back.
You know, it's kind of bizarre. Our own government shutdown has not really affected our markets. There are other things that have affected our markets. So I kind of doubt that Brexit is going to affect our markets. It will affect the British markets.
Right.
But not ours. And it surprised me because I thought that the government shutdown would affect our markets, but it hasn't had any impact at all.
I don't think it's affected the economy yet. From what I've been listening to, sort of unbiased opinion, is when people can't get on planes and the effects,
sure.
It's going to be, and hopefully by then we'll have put this insanity behind us.
I'm hoping that Danny DeVito will do another movie about this. Should be hilarious. Planes, trains, and something else.
That's funny. So somebody listening to you for the last 40 minutes wants to say, I should reassess things. You know, I was good shape when I retired 6 years ago, but we really haven't had reevaluation. This is a perfect time to do it because not only is what happened in the last 90 days, which was a pretty volatile market, but what's going to happen in the next year, it will keep changing. It's never going to repeat itself.
In a normalized market, the market will decline every 5 years and then recover. It will have a correction, and corrections are usually 9 to 10%. That's in a normal market. We still don't have a normal market, although the Fed has done some things on the back end to ease some of what they're doing on the front end. Nevertheless, there's a misunderstanding about the Federal Reserve. Between 1906 and 1913, when the Federal Reserve was created, there was a tremendous political argument about the independence of the Fed. The Federal Reserve is not independent of the Treasury. It's part of the Treasury. It was only independent for a five-year period under Lyndon Johnson when William McChesney Martin was chair, and then it lost its independence. So it's no surprise that when the president jawbones the Federal Reserve is going to back down, and they're now talking about facts and circumstances and economic indicators and whatever else they say. But they do back down. They are under the control of the Treasury.
And I'm not so sure that he doesn't jaw them when he knows they're not going to go any further. But because I listened to an economic guy last week, and I've never heard of this index before. He was talking about the Fred factor on junk bond values. And he said, based on where we're at, which is at 4.57, if I remember the number, we should have a nice smooth sail for the first quarter on interest rates with the Fed not going up any further.
Probably right. We might get another increase, but I don't think we'll get much more. But they inject liquidity in the back end by reducing the amount of reserves that the banks have to hold against liabilities, and so the money center banks are different than the community banks. Money center banks have to. First of all, the Federal Reserve controls what loans that banks can make. That's the result of what happened in 2008. When the problem was not necessarily loans, it was deleveraging, it's counterparty risk. But without getting into a lot of detail or driving your audience to distraction, the problem right now is, at least for the money center banks, is how they price loans. And that they price loans in simple terms. They price loans against what they a safe investment, which is treasuries. And so the question is, how much risk do they have to bear to make this loan above and beyond what the risk is in treasury, which is essentially non-existent.
Well, I think one of the things the president, I'm not pro or con in this conversation, said was that this is hurting the housing industry. Well, in effect, it's the Treasury bonds that it affects first,
yeah.
And that's going to affect interest on credit cards. And we went from 4.9-something% in mortgage rates in November down to 4.5. We dropped almost a half a point. Some of that was banks buying it down to keep in business, keep something going on, not being as greedy, maybe the right word is. I don't know, to form your own opinion. I'm not passing judgment on them, but mortgage rates went in the right direction, and if we're not going to go up any further, I do think it could help. And the housing economy helps lots of other things.
They say absolutely.
Every time we sell a house, it puts 7 people to work.
Oh, absolutely.
So good rate of thinking. Fred is with Money Matters. Fred Said, SAID. I hope I'm spelling it right, 908-791-3831, and Money Matters USA. .net if you want to look at his site. Fred, we've got 3 minutes. What didn't we say? We probably didn't say an hour's worth.
No, I don't. We had a very interesting conversation, and I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, enjoyed being here again. The other thing that I would caution people about is looking at their portfolios, They need to have buffer assets. There are only three buffer assets. It's cash value of life insurance and a reverse mortgage. And you need to have these buffer assets against contingencies, against events that are going to happen. They may or may not be predictable. And you need to have cash so that you don't stress your other assets. And this is really important because people wanted to be fully invested, and they were. But in this market that's starting to normalize, not having cash can be very, very dangerous.
I know I talk, Marilyn and I are in the middle of financial planning with somebody that I knew long before I knew you. And he said that the conservative money went somewhere around the middle of December, went back into cash in the investment portfolios, which means that's now reserve, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that money has just recently moved into the bond market and eventually will move back to where the buys are.
Some of it's gone into the bond market. Some of it is staying as cash. The yield curve is inverted right now. Not totally inverted, but it is inverted, which means that the short-term yield is paying more than long-term yields, and the sweet spot is the two-year, is at the two-year duration. So a lot of what we're doing right now with money is investing for 2 years. There's no interest rate risk in a two-year duration. And there's a lot of opportunities in that duration. Right now, and it's to really keep your powder dry. Don't make long term commitments. Stay liquid, and if you're a trader, your philosophy is going to be very different than somebody who's invested for retirement.
Yep. So you heard it here first. Keep your powder dry, guys. You need some reserve. It's just like when they fought the Civil War. There was always flanks of troops and reserve. I can't flanks, but reserves there for when there was a weakness to push through. And it's the same thing here. You need a financial advisor. Fred can help you with your planning. He can be reached once again at 908-791-3831. And if you have not, in effect, had a fresh look at where you're at in the last 3 or 4 years, you probably need it, because think what happened in the last 3 or 4 years. We have a radically different administration. We've had a surge in the stock market value and then an erratic last couple of months. I mean, the first 10% correction was predicted. This was not, but it was suspected. And it seems like it's recorrecting itself. I know it's come back about 40% since it hit the low. So as radically as it went down in December, it went back up in early January. We're not in bad shape. And from what I'm hearing, and it's probably biased because most news is biased today, in my opinion, that there is so much in reserves and there is so much upside to the market that some really good news could give this market a nice bump. So before it happens, you may want to talk to Fred or whoever your financial advisor is. I thank you very much for coming in, Fred. I thank the customers for staying tuned. And you mentioned something very interesting, reverse mortgages. Next week, we're going to talk about reverse mortgages.
Okay.
It'll be another 55-plus show. And with about 48 disclaimers, one of the fellows that visited our group once contacted me, and we're going to sit and talk about reverse
mortgages. That's great. That's great. It's a wonderful. It can be a very effective buffer asset. And again, money out of reverse mortgage is income tax-free.
So this is Joe Peters signing out. I'm going to play my information one more time. I'll give you Fred's phone number one more time, 908-791-3831. His first consultation is complimentary, but he'll explain that to you when you call. And you may want to give him a buzz and talk about what's going on in your life and whether or not you're positioned for the rest of it. And that's the name of the game. I mean, we're all going to come to a stop at some point in time. It's just when it's going to happen. And Fred says it best, if you knew that, you wouldn't need me.
So, that's true.
Here we go. Thanks for tuning in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.